Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Tuesday, July the 18th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Had a sweet couple from Shelby, Ohio stop by and just shook their hands to see us here at our studios. And we just have wonderful listeners all over America. And if you get an opportunity, you're traveling and you want to, obviously you got to travel to be here, unless you like time travel or something like that. I think that's mostly in movies. But
Mostly.
Well, duly noted, Ed. You got me there. Let me introduce my fellow colleagues here, Ed Vitagliano and Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Anyway, I was saying that if you are going to be traveling our way and you want to stop by and see us here, we are open Monday through Friday, and you need to go online and how do they, I don't even know. I've never applied to visit here, Ed. So I don't know how you do it. What do you do?
Well, you go to afa.net.
You don't apply. Excuse me. That's not the right
no.
way. You just let
sign
us know.
Up.
You sign up. You let us know where you're coming so we can expect you.
Yeah, and make sure there's somebody here. So if you go to afa.net, you look at the bar across the top.
Yeah.
It'll say, you know, home, the stand, activism. Contact us, and then there's one that says tours, and if you and there's a and
it's, you mean that's not the tours that we do to DC
no.
or Israel, right?
So it's just if you click that, it'll say AFA visitor registration.
Yeah,
tells you when we do tours.
Right,
please allow 24 to 48 hours in order right. for us to schedule your tour visit. I will tell you this, that we do a background check, so our security will check to make sure you're not.
It
sounds funny that you're not wanted, you know, three states over or,
yeah.
you know.
Has anybody thought about offering this advanced technology to the White House?
all right. So if you, we welcome visitors, and we have them every day almost here. And so if you're traveling, we are on Interstate. Well, we're not exactly on the interstate. That would be dangerous. But Tupelo, Mississippi, we're between Memphis and Birmingham.
Right.
Or between Nashville and Jackson, Mississippi.
Interstate 22.
Yeah, Interstate 22.
And the Natchez Trace Parkway.
So, anyway, I don't think we've ever denied someone based on a background check.
Well, you got to bring a gift.
No, you know, they
cookies
don't.
Work.
You need to check your... No, we got
it's
a little,
appreciated, but they, you
got a little work. Box on there that you need to bring a gift.
That is and, not true, folks.
Huh?
And... Let me imitate former President Trump. Wrong.
Bigly wrong.
Bigly. You do not have to bring a gift. Some people do, but we usually wind up giving folks.
Well, gifts are appreciated.
Sure.
That's all I'll just
you
say.
You got popcorn.
Yeah, I wanted to thank Brother Ken from Sparta, Michigan.
That's a great name for a town. Sparta.
Sparta, Michigan.
Sparta.
Brother Ken listens there. I don't know if I'm not saying he's a pastor. I'm calling him. He's my brother.
Is that the home of Michigan State?
Sparta? No, Michigan State's in East Lansing.
Okay.
But they are the Spartans.
That's why I asked.
Yes, you are correct there. Anyway, he sent me three boxes of white cheddar natural popcorn.
Natural?
The Cousin Willie's microwave popcorn.
Cousin Willie's.
Look. Not is. Willie Nelson.
Right.
Cousin Willie's microwave popcorn.
By that picture, I think I know what Robert E. Lee did after his Civil War adventures.
Yeah.
White cheddar. That looks delicious.
Anyway,
pack.
It's...
I wonder why he thought to send you popcorn.
Indiana. Oh, well, I know. I don't think people know I eat popcorn, do they, on this show?
Only if they pay attention to the show.
By the way, our popcorn lately has not been salted enough, so would you, Brent, remind me? I don't know whoever does that back there, but needs some more salt. Anyway, Cousin Willie's, I'm giving them a free advertisement.
Yeah.
Indiana grown.
Indiana grown popcorn.
Indiana grown popcorn. You know, Indiana's like, they're like popcorn capital of the world, I think.
Is popcorn a special kind of corn? In other words,
yes.
Yes, it is.
And you know how I know this?
No.
Because my wife, when we first got married, mocked me for several years because I said, no, popcorn's not a special kind of corn. You just take corn and you dry it out and then you put it in a pan.
Says the boy from Boston.
From the boy from Boston. She said, no, it's a special type of corn. And she turned out to be correct and mocked me about that for several years.
I'm proud of you for admitting your
Yeah,
I have no choice but to admit that I'm wrong. After 42 years of marriage, I've admitted it a lot.
Anyway, thanks, Brother Ken from Sparta, Michigan, for the popcorn. And if the IRS is listening, no, I won't list that as part of my income for the year. Okay, so. All right, Steve, you got any update on a more serious note on the American soldier that was detained or has been detained in North Korea?
Well, so far what we do know about this guy, and this is Fox News reporting this, that when he crossed over, he was not in a military uniform. He was plain clothed, and that he willfully and without authorization crossed the military demarcation line. So he didn't wander across by accident.
If he had been in uniform, he might have been shot.
Very likely.
By the North Koreans.
They don't play around there. So, and they haven't released the name, but they are working with the North Koreans to try to resolve the issue, as they say.
Well, I just got to say.
Do you mean somebody, you're saying this guy intentionally went over there?
That's what they're saying. Willfully.
Okay, I'm just going to say, in my opinion, I have no idea what was motivating this man, but in my opinion, it doesn't get more foolish than that. This guy may never get out, and he may wind up dying in a North Korean prison. I don't know what his
reasons. Maybe he's mentally unstable.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, maybe we'll find out more. This is an individual when his name is released, if it's ever released. I'm sure that there will be people checking out his Facebook page.
Well,
so he may have posted something explaining what his motivation was.
The problem is there's not going to be a lot of incentive on the part of the American diplomatic efforts to get him released if he wants to be there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like if he's defected?
Well, he won't want to be there 24 hours after he got there.
Yeah.
They're going to put him in a prison.
Yep.
Well.
Uh-oh.
I feel bad for his family. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net. If you want to send us what we call a K-Love email, which means it needs to be positive and encouraging, like K-Love. Send us at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. All right, Steve.
All right. Over the weekend, I guess it was, the family leader, Ohio's Family Policy Council, hosted all these presidential candidates or Republican candidates minus Donald Trump. So they had Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Vice President Pence, a lot of these people they spoke. And we came out with an interesting piece of audio before the debate happened, before the question. But the format of this was Tucker Carlson from Fox News came and individually interviewed all these candidates. So they weren't debating. It was just interviews from Tucker. And so Bob Vanderplot sat down with Tucker before this all started. They started having a conversation. And I want you to hear what Tucker Carlson said he's doing now. He said, I had to do something for Lent. He's Episcopalian. I had to do something for Lent. He says, I already gave up smoking, so what was next? He said, I think I'm going to read my Bible. Listen to Cut 9.
And I thought, well, I'm just going to read the Bible. And no, I'm not going to do a Bible study. I'm a Protestant, so I feel like I have a right to kind of read it myself. And I'm sorry. I feel that way. And so I've been reading it since February, and I'm like about halfway done. And I have all kinds, it's like the most interesting thing I think I've ever done, actually. Mm. It's unbelievable. The amount of drama in those books that has been hidden from me as a regular churchgoer in the Episcopal Church. It's like, wait, why didn't you never mention this? This is like unbelievable. But the two things I have come away with after reading the entire New Testament, and I'm up to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, is the every part, with the exception of Jesus, every figure is like really flawed. Maybe the point is that God takes people who are not perfect people and uses them for these grander purposes. That's the first thing I notice. The second thing I notice is that people, while they have free will, of course, and they can make decisions and they live with the consequences of those decisions, they're not really in charge of the arc of history at all. They are being acted upon a lot.
By outside forces, spiritual forces.
Now, you said in our story meeting this morning, because I've not listened to this interview, I'd like to listen to the whole thing. But you said that in this interview, again with Bob Vanderplatz, right, that Tucker Carlson said he had never read the Bible for himself or never read the whole thing.
He said that you heard, well, that was from, I gleaned that from what you heard early on in this cut where he said, I'm going to read the Bible for myself. I'm a Protestant. I can do that. But he had never read it because he's discovering these stories for the very first time.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it sounded like he was saying, which would be extraordinary for someone in a Protestant denomination to say they've never actually read the Bible.
It would be.
But Episcopal is probably considered high church.
It is.
So people probably don't bring their own Bibles. And it's just the liturgy.
What's a low church?
Well, I think high church.
Do I go to a low church?
Yeah. You and I go to a low church.
We go to a low church?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a high church, I think, refers to an official liturgy, and you don't bring the Bible, and you don't have a...
I know what a high church is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just wanted to make the joke about low church.
Yeah. It was easy.
Pretty easy. I want you to hear what Bob Vanderplatz took away from that discussion, by the way. This is interesting as well. Cut 10.
Tucker's reading the Bible and things are just popping out at him like never before, and things that he didn't know I didn't know that stuff was in there. Well, we would know, Steve, that's the Holy Spirit revealing God's word to Tucker. But Tucker is authentic. He's real. He's humble. He knows there is a God. He knows he's not God, and he definitely knows he needs a Savior just like all of us do.
Very interesting. We talked about this earlier. It's very easy for us as Christians to get our eyes on the confused people in our country, on the drag queens and the cultural Marxists and the globalists and think nobody's in charge. But God is clearly, and God is always doing something and working behind the scenes. We very rarely get to see that. But I'm thinking about like Jordan Peterson, who I have no idea if he's a Christian, but he seems to be being pulled closer to that. And I don't have no idea if Tucker Carlson is actually a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, he's been going to church. Lots of people go to church. But God is always doing something behind the scenes. And I just want to encourage our listeners, just rejoice in that. Jesus told a parable about, you know, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven being like leaven being put in bread, and you don't see leaven doing its thing until the work is completed. And so I just want to encourage Christians to continue to be active, continue to pray, continue to proclaim the gospel. You never know what God is doing in someone's life. In this case, Jordan Peterson and Tucker Carlson are well known. They speak a lot, so we're getting some insight into the fact that God's doing something. But God could be doing something in a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, and in our country, and we do not see the results of that yet. So keep your eyes fixed on the one who's in charge.
Yeah, I asked Bob Vanderplatz this question. I mentioned Jordan Peterson as being close. What would it be like if both Tucker and maybe Jordan Peterson, and by the way, here's another person who has been surrounded with people who know Christ and has been shared a lot of the gospel, has been shared with Donald Trump, who surrounded himself with evangelical. Could you imagine what this country, what journalism and politics might look like if Tucker Carlson and Jordan Peterson and Donald Trump started displaying the fruit of the Spirit as and living 100% for Christ. It doesn't mean they don't do investigative reporting. It doesn't mean they're not president. But can you imagine the effect of that?
Right. No, absolutely. And I said this while President Trump was in office, and I would say it again now, that President Trump may be the one, at least one of, but maybe the most famous person in the world. And we've all said he oftentimes does not act like a Christian. I have no idea. He may be one. I don't know. But if he suddenly started displaying the fruit of the Spirit, it would, God could use that to impact the entire world.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, and by the way, I don't mean to imply that Tucker Carlson is not a Christian. He may very well be one, but just hearing him talk with such wonder about what he's reading in the Bible, that's very exciting to me. Yep. Folks, continue to pray for all these people we've met.
Well, I've heard that kind of testimony before from people of all stripes of Christianity in terms of their background, who, in other words, Catholics, Episcopalians, but I've also heard Baptist and Methodist and Assembly of God and non-denominational people say, I never really studied the Bible for myself. You know, they may go to church, but they don't, you know, other than whatever the pastor reads from or the message, they don't. But then they discover reading the Bible and meditating on the scripture for themselves, how that is a life changer.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because it is powerful, incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I mean, and so that's Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament just gives you basically it's the history of God's relationship with his people, the Israelites, mm-hmm. and the story there. There's a lot more as well, but that's the grand story in the Old Testament, right?
Right.
And then the New Testament, God's relationship with man goes from just the Jews to the Gentiles.
Right.
Or everybody.
Everybody, yes, sir.
So, and that's the one of the beauties of Christianity is that the message of Jesus is for everybody in the world. It doesn't matter what your background, how much money you have or don't have, what your ethnicity is or isn't, what your religious background is or isn't. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody.
Right.
But it's also for every individual to respond to.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
I need to preach it, brother,
Hey, preach it.
That's what I'm saying. Say amen, brother.
Amen. Amen, all brother.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Bring it.
I'm feeling good now. Now, here's my second part.
And for point number two.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Steve. Next story.
All right. Let me just give you an update what we've learned about the White House supposed investigation into the baggie of cocaine that was found in the library. In a White House cubby near the Situation Room.
Was it done by Colonel Mustard?
In the library it was. And by the way, this cocaine does give new meaning to the word White House.
That's true.
I haven't heard that one before yet.
That was good. That was just right off the top of my head.
So a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, a small bag of cocaine was found at the White House, right?
Right. And the placement of it has shifted.
Right.
It was in a highly traveled, then it was near not as highly traveled. Anyway, Representative Tim Burkett, of Tennessee, is telling Newsmax that the Secret Service destroyed the bag containing cocaine at the White House, and therefore there's no chance, even if the Republicans or anybody were able to say we demand a little bit more evidence. So they destroyed the bag.
Who destroyed it?
The FBI.
Why?
Secret Service. I'm sorry, Secret Service.
I'll give you two words.
Plausible deniability.
Cover up. I mean, what else can you say when the chief federal law investigative branch of the Department of Justice, the FBI, destroys evidence that could possibly, who knows, but could possibly incriminate a member of the family of the current president?
Are they saying there was no, I guess there was no fingerprints on this bag of cocaine, right?
They're saying that there was not enough DNA to make a match. Well, first, this is what Burkett points out. The Secret Service didn't even have the key to the locker where the cocaine was found, and they said originally we didn't find enough DNA. Now they went back and said we didn't find any DNA. So which is it?
Is there not a video of people who visit the White House on that day? And
that's why I was asking about that top secret.
You could find out
tech that we were talking about.
If there are not cameras everywhere,
that's what I'm saying.
Then somebody's head should roll.
Yeah,
it's the White House.
There is. There is, and I bet they. Well, by the way, it says here that the Secret Service destroyed the bag of cocaine. The bag. This is the way I imagine it happening. The Secret Service agent has this bag of cocaine and says, "Oh, Hunter, would you like to go take this down to the incinerator?" And the bag was destroyed. I'm just saying.
That's how unfair of you.
I know.
Anyway, this is ridiculous. I don't think most Americans believe any of this stuff. But you know what? In a sense, the opinion, the attitude of the Department of Justice is basically we don't care what people believe or not. Well, if we're gonna, if there's no evidence, there's no evidence, and that's why we do what we do.
They never found who the leaker was of the Dobbs decision. Remember that for the Supreme Court that overturned Roe versus Wade? Remember?
Yeah, they've never followed. If they did know, it doesn't appear that they've followed up.
Wasn't the FBI called in to investigate that?
They sure were. It kind of seems like either they're in the tank or they're incompetent. I don't think they're incompetent. I also want to stress,
unless you were within 5 miles of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Yes, then they
2001. Then they pinged. They found your phone pinged, and they visited your house.
They know everything about you. I am heartened by the fact.
Are you heartened?
I'm heartened.
Okay.
By the fact that there are FBI whistleblowers on a number of different matters, which indicates to me that there are an awful lot of FBI agents who are not a part of the weaponization of that branch of government, and they are as disturbed by what's happening in the Department of Justice as most other fair-minded people.
No, I agree. And I don't know if you guys talked about the whistleblower that Jim Jordan was talking about earlier. They're finding corroboration from FBI whistleblowers.
Corroboration of what?
This is having to do with the documents, I think it was, wasn't it? The FBI whistleblowers that are testifying before Congress?
Yeah, I was asking you.
Yeah, I know. I just slipped my mind. I'll have it for you tomorrow.
We're done.
Are y'all done?
Yeah, okay. We're done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to today's issues.
Jim Caviezel tomorrow, hopefully.
Yes, that's right.
10:15 here on today's issues.
So you be back with us tomorrow. Keep listening to AFR throughout the day, and we hope you have a wonderful afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow.